Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would...
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. It is a Thursday, November the 3rd, 2016. We have a live show for you today. Definitely looking forward to it all. So we're going to get going. And just to give you a heads up, there is a lot going on in the world, but we're going to deal with it all like we should. So looking forward to today's show, and so that we can start to come together, and would love to talk to some of you today during today's show. We have a special guest coming on. Author Whitney Scott is going to be coming on. She is the author of Nice Girls Club. Very, very talented young lady that we all should be supporting, and she's going to be coming on today right after What's in the News, right after we come out of the half-hour commercial break. But with that being said, let's jump into some very important business that we need to take care of, and that is supporting Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that by going to the website of blacktalkradionetwork.com, and there you'll check out the crowdfunding digital black media campaign that's going on, the crowdfunding campaign that's going on to ensure that Black Talk Radio Network will be here for you, for your children, and for your children's children, and for a generation we have yet not named, so that they will always have a medium where they can engage in some of the whatever is very important within the community, within the family, or individually, that can be have a media platform for that overall direction to grow. It's very, very important that we know what's going on in our communities, in our homes, and in the surrounding neighborhoods, because then that positions us all to where we can seize on the opportunities from what's going on around us. And a lot of that is, should be from us controlling it ourselves. So Black Talk Radio Network is so, so important. It's a place, it was actually designed for you, your demographics in mind, to give you a voice, those that have been, that have the power of speech has been turned off, and the overall energy of the speech has been diluted. So now that can be magnified through Black Talk Radio Network, through the programs that are brought to you by the network, through your support, through the promotion of the agenda of yourself, your family, and our overall community. So, so important. So there is the crowdfunding campaign. You can see the options in donating. It's very, very, you know, it's not expensive at all. It's something that I know I need to do. I missed one. I forgot, but we will make our donations to Black Talk Radio Network. We all need to. Also, within Black Talk Radio Network, there is a social media outlet that has been made available for you all so that you don't have to worry about someone stealing, someone selling your identity to any bidder at all, or where it is a spider web that's where the data mining of your information is being collected for whatever reason. And believe me, it's not in your best interest, because it wouldn't be secretly done. And so there's a place where you can go, where your opinions can be expressed, your thoughts can be actually set forward for conversation, or you can promote yourself, your business, or some events that you have going on in your community by going to BTR Community. It's a great place where I no longer post in FedBook. I only post inside of BTR. So it's a great place for us to do that, and I suggest that you all do that for only $24 a year. Very, very, very cost-efficient and cheap for what it all is designed for. So everyone, please support that. Also, if you're interested in transferring some of your cash, the energy that you were paid in as a token for your labor, into real money, then you can do that with us through Prosperity Mint. That's Prosperity Mint, Prosperity Mint. You can go there, check out what's in inventory there, then email wolf6pack1@gmail.com if you haven't purchased there before, just to make sure that your overall purchase, and someone can walk you through what it is that you're doing, so to make sure that you get the best service that you possibly can get. So make sure that you actually email saying that you would like to purchase some of the precious metals. And I always say the wage of a king is gold, the wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver, and the wage of a slave is debt. And everyone that you know has been paid debt, slave wages, by the cash that's given to them. That is a debt instrument. So make sure that you save in real money, and you could do that through the precious metals, the most perfect form of money that we have on the planet. So, with that being said, also this weekend, if you're in the Los Angeles area, high time for you to go out this Sunday and check out the guest that we'll have on today, W.A. Scott, and she's the author of Nice Girl Club. She's going to have a book signing this Sunday, November the 6th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's a book signing event, and it's going to be held at 5373 Wilshire Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 936. They will have wine, cheese, and desserts, and giveaways. So this is a great opportunity for you to actually go to a book signing for a very, very talented young lady and author that's in our community that is only going to continue to grow. And she's going to have a book signing for her new published book, Nice Girls Club. And she's going to come on today and talk about that. Looking forward to hearing from Miss Whitney Scott today. So definitely, if you're in the Los Angeles area this Sunday, make your way down to the Wilshire area of the city, the Wilshire District area of the city, at 5373 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, at 900, and the zip code is 936, for the book signing of Nice Girl Clubs with W.A. Scott. She will be there signing, and they will have some, as we said, some wine, cheese, desserts, and giveaways. And that's from 4 to 6 this Sunday, November the 6th. So wish if I was still in Los Angeles, I would definitely be on Wilshire Boulevard this Sunday to actually support Whitney. But Whitney will be on. Looking forward to Whitney coming on. All right, so let's jump into what's in the news. First article from antimedia.com, the rise of mandatory vaccination means the end of medical freedom. The end of medical freedom has been for a while, but this is very, very true. But see, this is why mandatory vaccinations are totally, totally they're not even unconstitutional. They are, without a doubt, a human rights violation, a human existence violation, and needs to be, and needs to truly be encountered, fought from that standpoint, but more importantly, fought from the standpoint of not only no, but heck no, not doing it regardless of what you say. Doesn't you, your overall, what you're putting in these syringes, no one knows but you. And so that's not going in. If you don't mind what's in the syringe, put it in your veins. Not going in anyone else's by force. If someone wants to consent to that, that's their problem. But other people, mandatory? No way in the world. This is totally, totally illegal. So check out that article, and we'll talk about that at some other given time. Next one from RT International. WikiLeaks did not receive Clinton emails from Russian government. Says that Julian Assange says that the leaks came from, there was also a British governmental official, I believe it was British, that also said that the email leaks didn't come from Russia, it came from within the U.S. government, and I'm not surprised at all. So check out that article. Next one is talking about what we're going to be talking about today on November the 3rd, 2016. On this Thursday, we have a special guest, Whitney Scott, the author of Nice Girl Clubs, and we're going to also take a look at current events after we talk to Ms. Scott about her book and some of the projects that she's got working on and what she's going to be doing in the future. Next article comes from Russia Insider. Vladimir Putin condemns Europe for upholding child rape. And you're going to see how this starts to unfold. The purge is, you know, and I had totally gotten away from mentioning the purge that we've been talking about for over a year now. That's exactly what's happening. There is a movement that's going to purge out the Western way of life, the Western way of influence, the dollar hegemony, the aggressive, the illegal, the tactics of enslavement that the Western nations have, and particularly the United States, by way of all forms of social, geopolitical, and economic wars that they've been fighting against the rest of the world, stealing assets and controlling assets to their benefit while enslaving the people of the world. This is coming to an end just from the standpoint of the United States being that. Until the people of this world realizes that these governments are all in one big fraternity against everyone, then they will just continue to pass the mantle to someone else. They will continue to pass the advent of subjugation to someone else until we decide that we won't be there to be subjugated by anyone. This is something that I think it has to be dismantled by the people. And this is not a utopia, because the only thing that you've ever known was this criminal establishment known as civilization. So it has to come to a point in time where you start to think beyond your circumstances. The world, the universe, is much bigger than the bubble that you were born in. It's time for us to break out of that and realize our true potential and capabilities by being free and independent. So check out that article. Next one comes from Business Insider. Russia has threatened to include Norway on a list of possible nuclear targets. Whole thing is really starting to take form, and I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know how things are going to shape out. I just know that at some point and at some time, the everyday common person's way of life is going to be threatened and is going to be forced into a forceful retreat, either through fear or by the overall pushing of violence against the general population of this world. When? I'm not sure. Why? There's many reasons. The most important reason is to control your energy. They don't care about your cash. They don't care about many things. They care about your energy, because your energy provides for their means of life. Your way of life provides for their means of life. And this is something that your way of life needs to provide for your means. And to work in a collective prudence with those around you that you can resonate with. in a likeness. So this is only going to continue to, I say it's cyclical. I always say that fear has an expiration date, and that they're going to now allow the U.S. to expire, because that serves the overall global agenda of subjugation and enslavement, and they're going to put in a new beacon of freedom, and that beacon of freedom is going to either come out of, well, I believe it's going to come out of the Eurasian nations, and the U.S. will be like some of the old former empires that have fallen. It will still be here, but the empire will have fallen, and I think that's going to have dramatics. Now, could it be by way of World War III that goes into global, what I call global nuclear war one? Yes, it definitely could, and it looks like it's going that way. But I also notice when things start to get so overtly apparent that that is a ploy to deceive you or to distract you from something else that they're going to do. Right now, the economy and the overall demise of the petrodollar, the reserve currency status the U.S. dollar has, and the dollar hegemony is the biggest threat. And this is why I think you're seeing a lot of the high-profile events that are going on in this charade, in this crazy atmosphere here in the so-called man-created borders of the United States that you're seeing right now. It is the unwinding of an empire. So that's, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but check out that article. Next one from Sputnik. At least 9 civilians were killed in the shootings on Pakistan and India border. This thing is really, really getting out of hand in Pakistan and in India. Next article comes from Bloomberg. Venezuela currency is collapsing on the black market again. We're definitely going to talk about that one today as well. Next one comes the Free Thought Project. Colin Kaepernick just started a Black Panthers inspired youth camp to teach kids to fight oppression. So check out that article. Great thing there, Colin, for looking out. Next one from RT. New bionic eye implant connects directly to the brain, allowing a blind woman to see shapes and colors. Check out that article. Next one. Who is this? Okay. Next one comes from Free Thought Project. Russia is hoarding gold at an alarming rate. The next world war will be fought with currencies. Yes, we've been talking about that. Without a doubt, that's so true. And my man learned, I heard Jim Ricker speak about currency wars in a TV interview he did at least 2 years ago. That's also the title of one of his books. Currency wars, the making of the next global crisis. Yeah, very, very true. Very familiar with, they call him James Richard. I definitely think that he has a lot of important stuff, but remember, I always look at where someone really came from, and I will talk about that with him. I'm very skeptical of Richards. I always have been, I always will be. You know, just as John Perkins, the one that wrote Confessions of an International Hitman. And just because once you cut your teeth at these levels, you're not allowed to ever lead. But they have great information that we should be learning from, but always take it with a grain of salt as to looking at this, that why would this be coming from him with the background that he's had. So we'll talk about that. Great, great article. Great post there, Learn. Next one comes from, oh man, this was funny. This one came from an NBC. I said, laugh out loud. NBC got caught putting the election selection result up a little too early, folks. Shaking my head. Before being caught, you could see that they called and you clicked the actual link there, and you could see there where they had called the election for Hillary. Let me pull this up real quick for Hillary. And Hillary beat Dump, and she had 41 million votes, popular votes, and Dump had 40 million popular votes, and the electoral, they have the the account. Oh, and here it is. This is the electoral count was Hillary had 343 and Dump had 195. So this is what they put up on their site. And then after they got caught, lo and behold, you go over and click on to it right now, and it has zeros on everything. So all staged, my friend, all staged. So check out that one that we posted there. Next one. Next one comes from, this one comes from Reuters. U.S. militant grinds for trouble as presidential election nears. And this one came from Reuters. And it was a couple of people that had said some things. Says, irked by double standards in this article and in real life, European civil unrest. Original Americans, black African Americans, Hebrew Israelites, Ferguson race riots of 2003. It's interesting how these militant groups can associate freely, proclaim freely, and train freely. This is what the sister said. Yes, I see what you're saying. And we're going to talk about that definitely today. Next one, this one, Learn said, I believe some of these so-called militant groups will only be used the presidential election as an excuse to launch an all-out attack on us. And this one came, and then there was a link that they had white supremacist gears up for race wars by enlisting in the military. So that was what was there, and we'll talk about that. Yeah, this type of stuff has been going on for a very, very, very long time, and we'll talk about. There are many, many different groups throughout this whole country and everything else, and you have to be aware of everything. But we're going to definitely talk about those things today. So, at any point, let me see. 1 second. Let me see. If we had any other. Real quick, I think there was a couple of other articles that I missed before we go to a commercial break. Let me make sure. Nope, I think that was it. Okay. Uh-oh, made a mistake. Let me get on. Okay, with that being said, everyone, if you'd like to get in on the call today, oh, man. Of course, it knocked me out. This thing always knocks me out. I hate this. All right. Listen, everyone. We that's what's in the news. But in today's show, if you would like to give us a call, just give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. And we're going to have Whitney A. Scott come on and talk about her new book, A Nice Girls Club. Looking forward to that. Then we're going to jump into the rest of the show with the current events that's going on and to get you prepared for it all. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Don't hesitate. Always call in. A dialogue is much better than a monologue. We need to be talking about things, and we will definitely do that. Appreciate you all so much. So with that being said, getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of a commercial break, we will start today's show. Whitney should be here, and we'll get going. Looking forward to this show. We'll be right back after you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., and we have a live show for you. We got a caller in queue while we wait for Whitney to come on, and we're going to go straight to this caller, one of my favorite callers. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you calling from, and what's your question or comment?
What's up, peace, Dave? It's just me, man.
Brother Brad, what's going on?
All right, man, just chilling, man, listen to the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to give you a call after the show, too. Brother Bragg, I had a bad allergic reaction to something, and, oh, man, it's killing me today, but I'll be all right.
Man.
I'll be all right, though. But what's going on, Brother Braggs? What's on your mind?
Man. Just, I'm into the Constitution right now, just looking at some things, man. I've been finding so much stuff in these old books I got. I was looking at it, uh-huh. They were talking about no titles of nobility. Judges and lawyers were not supposed to be a part of the congressman, senator. They're not supposed to be a part of the government like that. You know, it's a whole bunch of stuff in that Constitution that's really interesting, man.
Yeah, it is. And when I was, reading it from time to time, and you'll see things that have actually have double meanings to them all, because when a lot of people read the Constitution, that they think that they're reading a doctrine or a bill or law of standing that supports them as citizens, and it doesn't. It was never written for them at all.
Well, that Constitution comes from the Iroquois Federation. Man, listen. The number they pulled on the indigenous people here, your brothers and my brothers, you know what I'm saying, our people, because it's our people, with the legalese and the trick knowledge, most people think that Britain lost the war, but how did Britain lose the war if we're a crown colony state? I'm just saying, it's just things that run through my mind, you know what I'm saying? So if we're a crown colony state, and apparently Britain won the war, America, they didn't win in emancipation. But nobody talks about that. You know what I'm saying? So it must be a reason for it. You know, we're not supposed to be able to read. We're not competent enough to read words. So they can pull anything over on you and you don't go check behind them.
Right. That's so true. That is so true, Brother Bragg. And it's... I just got a text. Whitney will be a little late. She's new to the LA area, and let me tell you something. We have a author that's coming on, Brother Bragg. Good sister. Her name is Whitney Scott. She wrote a book called Nice Girls Club, and Whitney's just recently relocated to back. I think, but Whitney was in LA before, but she's back in L.A., and she just sent me a text running a little late. I said, of course you are. You're in L.A. That's the traffic in L.A. So we'll have Whitney come on. But until the meantime, we're going to be talking to Brother Braggs, as always, and just we'll hold it until she gets here and pitch you next.
Yeah, they're not talking about this Fukushima, whatever you want to call it. Man, this shit is devastating the fucking the clean oceans, man. The pollution is...
Brother Braggs, you are so right. You know, today is just before because I got to prepare for the show. While preparing for the show, I said that I need to really talk about Fukushima. We need to highlight... See, a lot of people think if something is going to happen, well, when this happens, the major event has already happened. It was Fukushima. It was Fukushima. Fukushima is slowly killing
man.
It is a
killing millions of fish, seeds, man. It's devastating the ocean, man. And they're not reporting it.
No.
I don't get it. I don't understand. So a lot of that fish that's supposed to be wild caught that you're getting is probably radioactive and shit, you know? You know,
what you say, Brother Brett? Your phone went out.
I said a lot of the food they're bringing out of the ocean, I'm sure a lot of it's been touched by the radioactivity.
Oh yeah. I put an official ban on seafood many moons ago. For me, I don't engage in it, and that's a food source, and it's so much, and this is just spewing radioactive isotopes up into the upper atmosphere. You just get just one particle of plutonium in your lungs, and that's it. It's done. So this is just spewing, and it hasn't been controlled.
Hey, Brother Dave.
In a full meltdown, and it's spreading throughout the world continuously. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I was posting some of the network shows on Facebook because, you know, that's all we really use it for, is just to push content out to those who are still on there and don't know yet, you know what I'm saying, in hopes that we'll bring them into the knowledge that they need to have. So I was on there, and I saw on the main feed where the space station or something, some space station, and they were showing the horizon, you know, showing that, and people talking about, oh, that's so beautiful, and that's so this and that. And I'm like, why they ain't up there producing something and showing us how this radiation is raining down, you know, on the West Coast? So, you know, people just don't have a clue.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Scotty. This is, and Brother Braggs hit it on the head, and, you know, we've been talking about it, but we haven't been really... I did a couple of shows on it, but we really, this Fukushima, everyone should be definitely detoxifying their bodies, you know, going through a heavy metals detox. And this is what happened. This is a slow kill. This is a very, you're going to see people's immune systems weaken, because that's what radiation does. It attacks your immune system. And you're going to see all types of things. This is what you do silently. One of the things that people that enslave and subjugate, and even the wealthy pick up this, they whisper their agenda. They whisper what they're going to do, because it has everything to do with the best interest that they want to get out of it. One of the things that we have to do is also we have to whisper. We need to whisper within our own groups, within our own communities, what it is that we're going to do, instead of always putting out what we're going to do. Decide what it is and then go about it in a very silent way.
Exactly.
Because when you go about things in a silent way, you're able to build it. It's to have its foundation, its structural integrity will be sound, because you are able to put it together and acquire the things that you need in silence. And then slowly, even before you know it, you are in a position where you're controlling so much, but silently. And that's one thing that I think is one of the important directions that we need to have. We need to really establish an asymmetrical, a quiet building of what's in your best interest, our family's best interest, and the community's best interest. And once you start to do that silently, then you're able to do it for a, you know what? You're able to, when you do things silently, you're able to put things together, make mistakes, re-engineer things, reintroduce things. You're able to really grow when you have a methodical, silent approach to things.
Hey, remember this, man. All the Black Wall Streets, they had Black Wall Streets all over America because they had Jim Crow and terrible segregation. So the people had to hunker down and do their thing. The gross national product on a lot of the cities, especially Black Wall Street, the gross national product was more than the United States of America's gross national product, which people don't get. Most of those lynchings that you see were affluent Black people that owned businesses. That's why they were lynched. Go back and do your homework. You got Slocum, you got Folsom, all these massacres all over America, the indigenous people that look like you and me.
Right, and that's the approach. There's a silent approach until you become into a position. Let me tell you, one of the things that I like to look at history, and I prefer looking at ancient history. And when you look at ancient history, there are some people that you may or not agree with, but I give kudos to the Chinese. Kudos from the Chinese from this standpoint. They do not rush anything. In their overall decision-making process, they have a very, very long, prolonged agenda. And they systematically go about that agenda and they don't try to rush it. This is why their ancient civilization has been around for so long. Do they have their problems? Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But if you look at them, they came from where they were and able to reestablish themselves as the number one economy, the number one manufacturing, and they're pretty much number one in everything for a reason, because they took a silent, asymmetrical approach to establishing themselves. I think that's something that we really, really should be pushing and doing.
Also, nationalism too. Remember, they are all one people, so they don't play the games that they play here in America, because we, instead of the people moving as one, they want to disenfranchise a part of the population, and I'll leave it at that. But one thing we have to do, we're going to have to make coalitions and come together and move as a quiet unit, like you're saying, Dave. We have to put our stuff together and go do what we need to do to get it done.
Hey, you know what, though? I used to work in management in at this, might as well call it a cotton factory, but it was really just, it was a plant where they produce material that will then be turned into clothes and stuff like that. Now, I worked in a part of, I had gotten a promotion and gotten into management, and I was working in what they call the sourcing department. And what the sourcing department does is find sources to produce the goods that you want. It's quite simple, right? So what happened was, it's not so much the Chinese quietly plotted and took over all manufacturing. They just didn't say nothing to the world as U.S. businesses quietly plotted to outsource all these jobs. That's what I think it will really, the business owners in this country, the manufacturers selling out, the bankers selling out, because that's what our job was to, I was like quality control and having, you know, certain labs, which we had a lab in Hong Kong that we sent our samples to have him run it through these different tests on, mostly was underwear and t-shirts and stuff like that. But the companies would be in, we had one we was doing business with in Vietnam, and it wouldn't even be a company. Sometimes it'd just be factories, a standalone factory. They got like maybe 400 or 500 workers. So, I mean, it might be a company to itself, but not like a big conglomerate and what have you.
Right.
So like this white woman, she was the head of, she became the head of it after the white guy got fired for sexual harassment. But she used to travel all over the world, going to these different factories to see, you know, and she would tell stories when she worked for Nike doing the same thing, of the deplorable conditions that a lot of those workers would be under. So now the thing,
So now the thing is,
well, China, though, I wouldn't necessarily classify it as slave labor when they providing your total health care and all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't necessarily call it slave labor. Seem like they standard of living is rising above Americans, if you ask me. But these business owners, man, Americans are to blame. It ain't nothing that the Americans greed. Mm-hmm. They sold out the workers, and that's what I think right. It was. And now they not so much, they're bringing jobs back, but guess where they going? They're going to the prison. These companies now are going to the prisons to make their goods and serve, provide services and what have you. It's slavery. They brought it back.
You got to remember, the great experiment is free labor. That's what the great experiment is, slave labor. All through America. That's America's history, free labor.
Yeah, so true. And you know what? Because both Scotty was making the point that's very, very important, was that it was the corporations and the companies here that sold out. Yes, that is so true. And the thing about that was that the Chinese and the rest of the nations put into place systematically for that to happen. And the people here, they sold out. They
gave them an option. They gave them a cheaper option, and that's what happened.
Exactly. And that was. And you know, we definitely have to have a show about that. But you know, it really would, after we talk to, because Whitney should be coming in pretty soon. But listen, one of the things that I want to do today in the second half of this show, after Whitney, we talk to Whitney, because I know she has some event she has to go to. What I want to talk about is every person that's here and that's listening to Tando Radio Show. I want to establish where you can start to have some of your own groups where you are. Your own groups where you are, because sometimes it's very difficult to get family members and things of that nature on board. Yeah. Oh, that's Brother Brad talking to the dogs. And I wanted to kind of lay some things out, but we also want to take a look at what's happening in Venezuela, and then I want to talk about you all, the listeners here in Tando, establishing groups where you live, where you could come together. And one of the things is this: the best way to do it is you guys got to join BTR so that you can have a center for you to actually come together from wherever you are, and then you could build this out. And but there will be precautions, because you know not everyone has some good intentions, and so we're going to be able to wean those people out that don't have the best intentions for the groups, and we will put in some things that will protect everyone. But it's something that we need to do right now as things start to move to where you're going to be have to rely on people. Go ahead, Brother Brad.
Hey, I was just going to ask Scotty, let me get your land base address, Scotty, so I can send my thing for the BTR membership and give me a couple of t-shirts, man.
Yeah, do you have access to the internet?
I don't do the computer yet.
Oh, okay, let me get it to you then. All right, the address, our business name is Black Talk Media Project. That's our registered nonprofit name, Black Talk Media Project.
Black Talk Media Project.
And the address is P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120.
Say that again, 28120?
Yes.
28120. All right. And I just make it out to the check to Black Talk Media Project.
Yes.
All right. No problem.
Yes.
And look, man,
not Black Talk Radio Network. Some people put like on a money order I got this week. Somebody put Black Talk Radio Project. No, it's Black Talk Media Project. But other people made that mistake.
Let me erase that other stuff so I don't do the same.
And I'm sorry, Brother Bragg asked me to get that form the other day, and I got caught up in some things, and I'm sorry. I'm glad you asked it.
It's all right. I'll get to it, though. You know how we do.
Yes, sir.
His mind be racing, man. I be reading all day. Sometimes, man, I forget. Because you know what? What I woke up on this morning, I woke up this morning, man, at 3:30 in the morning. I got to reading about status, man. This status thing is really getting to me, and I got up and I pulled up some stuff on this status, and what they were talking about was the birth certificate, and they were talking about martial amnesty law. Man, this stuff is so interesting. It's so interesting to me, man. I don't want to mislead anybody because it takes some thought to even get to this, because they were talking about the straw man. And the straw man is a fictitious person, a non-real person. And they were talking about controlling your straw man. It's a long, drawn out thing. I'll talk to you by yourself. I'll talk to you about that because I don't want to confuse nobody. But
no, we got really, you. That's something that we definitely have to engage. Yeah, it really is. We need to really need to delve into that. But Brother Braggs, this is something that we definitely need to talk about. And because it's more than interesting, it actually affects your daily life, and you may not know. And once you know it, then you can decide if you want to actually participate in that. And the choice is always yours,
Dave.
But sometimes we need to know. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Had your guests come yet? I don't want to. We make sure we don't have them waiting.
Let me. I think she just checked. Let me just check.
Well, while you checking, this is what I wanted to say. I heard somebody make this statement, and on the surface of it, it might sound true, but they said that black people don't produce anything. We don't manufacture anything. Well, again, you know, I've had a journey through the work world and entrepreneurial world, and black people do produce stuff. We're producing a program right now. You know what I'm saying? We produce media.
Yeah.
We produce media, whether you're a writer, writing articles, you know, on whatever subject, whether you got a guest coming on who's produced a book. And so when they say we don't produce anything, I guess they're talking about big ticket items like boats and things of that nature. But there are little things that I produce a kit. Now, again, we don't have to have the raw materials and then got to put all the raw. No, you do like they do. You source the parts to what you need from different factories from all over the world, and you put those parts together, and there's your product. That is my mixing kit.
That's so true, Scotty. You know, because what they tried, let me tell you, in my opinion.
And I only mentioned that, Dave. I'm sorry.
You want to destroy competition.
Yeah, I only mentioned that because a lot of times, man, we be killing our own potential by painting the circumstances so dire and saying we don't do this and we don't do that. Well, if you really think about it, we do some things and we do produce some things. So it's just that a lot of us who produce things in the entertainment field, or we allow other people to earn the fruits of the labor, and we just get a small portion of it. But we do produce things. This network is a production.
They actually co-opt everything that you produce. They co-opt it. Everything that we use in this society comes from us, whether you realize it or not, whether it be the music you listen to, the ideas about all these stories that comes from the Egyptians and the people who used to write the Metaneto. All everything that we use comes from us. They just co-opted it.
Yeah, and to destroy competition, they have to get you to where your self-esteem and your self-worth is always determined by someone else's opinion or opportunity for you. Exactly. And Scotty and Brother Braggs are absolutely right. There are many things that we do. Now we just need to do it more effectively and efficiently, and we need to get more of our talent pool inside of that overall vortex of our potential, so that we can have a true renaissance among ourselves and the people. And I'm going to tell you, the rest of the world needs it. It really, really does. It needs from the indigenous people that are here, which, as my brother Braggs always say, the copper-colored people of this nation are the original people. That's right, that being you. Not all of every person. Every continent was attached, because Africa is the only continent that's anchored into the mantle or the crust of the earth. Everything else was attached to Africa. It's the only one that's anchored. So everything is from Africa. So there have been the lies of history is very, very important, because once you start to discern and come and, you know, the truth always stands on its own. And when the key is, will you support the standing of the truth? not because the truth needs you, but you need the truth. The truth does not need you. It's so important that we gravitate and align ourselves with the truth so that you can see your full, who you are, your full potential that you have, and so that you will move in a free and independent way that the great Creator and God Almighty had given you the ability to do, if you so choose to. The choice is always yours. So important. So we have our guest. She's getting ready to come in any minute. And then just until that time, we'll pick her conversation up at the hour. And then what we'll do is after that, I want to quickly establish and talk to you all about establishing groups and alliances throughout this country. And we need to do it through BTR so that that can be a center where we all could meet and actually have some of the same programs, everybody working. And then this way, when we do that, then we could have actual education and different trainings of different things for us to learn and to bring to our community. This is how you can get prepared with many other people, and this can grow and benefit you, your family, and our community. So important. So listen, let's go ahead and go to a commercial break while see where Whitney is, because she may still be stuck in traffic a little bit. So we're going to take a quick early commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll get into the show. Whitney should be here, and then once she's here, we'll get rolling, and then after that, we're going to take a look at Venezuela really quickly, and then we're going to establish some of our satellites, some of our preparedness satellites throughout this country, within the neighborhoods, within your, for your family, for yourself, and overall for our community. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Shut up that noise.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. It's Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., and we have a live show for you on this Thursday, November the 3rd, 2016. Man, this year just blew by. And our guest, Miss Whitney Scott, is in queue. I'm about to bring Whitney up. Whitney, are you there?
Yes, David, I'm here.
Hey, Whitney, welcome. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. How are you, sister?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And, you know, I'm so sorry I didn't get Whitney's full bio. for you all. But Whitney is a very, very talented young lady that is an author now that is published. She's published. Is this your first book, Whitney?
Yes, this is my first children's book that I'm creating a series out of. So this is volume one of the series.
Wow. Listen, I'm so proud of you, Whitney, and I'm looking forward to all of the projects that you're going to be engaging in, and we're going to be here to support you with these projects. And we definitely, you know, it's so good to hear some of our young talent and some of our great talent come on and talk about what they're doing so that our community and everyone can know where you are, what you're doing, what they can support, and what is it that you're hoping to actually you know, do within the community, and just to get a real feel for the pulse of our direction, because that pulse is always going to be set, that standard will always be set primarily by the young people and the direction that they're going. So I'm so happy and glad, and I feel blessed to have you on. Well, even more than blessed, fortunate. I feel fortunate to have you on and just to give the opportunity to support you and your work. So, Whitney, tell us a little bit about you. Where did you start your writing? And you know, why was writing, and when did you realize that writing was important to you?
Okay, great. Well, thank you for having me on, David. But first of all, my book is called Nice Girls Club, New Best Friend, and this is volume one. And what really inspired me to start writing my book is because I noticed that there was a need out there with our young girls. I'm a mother of two girls myself, and I was raising my girls in Harlem, and this exposed me to a lot of girls in the community, and I just noticed that there was this trend of mean behavior and negativity. And as I would watch the type of shows that my girls would watch, I would notice that that's popular culture. Being mean is popular, even amongst the shows that adults watch, particularly adult women. So I wanted to create a book. I really wanted to do workshops with girls where I would encourage them to be kind and nice and empathetic and compassionate to one another. So that led to me writing a book as an extension of my message of promoting kindness amongst girls. So I really use my books as a tool to reach girls and help them to understand that there's an alternative way of behaving.
Wow, Whitney, and you know what, Whitney, this is so profound, because I think it's one of the many things that we need to realign ourselves to. And I always say that we always have to be careful not to become what we had to endure. And you are absolutely right. It's been popular to be mean. And we've seen it throughout, you know, our childhood. As we were growing up, our adulthood, we can always, and it's actually glorified, and there's a reverence and a respect that we have for mean people that is undeserving. And you can really see it, especially within our daughters, the young princesses, growing up. Their age of coming into womanhood, you can really see it among a lot of the young people in all backgrounds. But within our community, if I really think about it, if you really survey it, there has been a more of a acceptance as to people being mean, and I think it's because of a lot of the things that we have endured, the stress that we have endured, and we wear that stress in how we introduce ourselves to people. Our stress really introduces ourselves before we even have the opportunity to say anything to another person. And you're so right, Whitney, with the so in your research, what sparks you to you know, what was the key that made you recognize the meme culture and say, I have to do something about it? What was, you know, or what was the accumulation of events that brought you to that?
Well, I think it's just like just my overall awareness. You know, as I, you know, grew a little bit older and I just started studying more and really looking at, you know, how other Black people behave within my community, and just seeing this, like you were saying, this overwhelming stress that we experience, and mainly this lack of confidence within our youth as well as adults, that's really just making us stagnant, you know,
yes,
as a people. And I, in my opinion, it all starts with self-esteem. And if we could just have enough confidence, or at least instill enough confidence in the children, maybe they could do a little bit better. Maybe they can have the confidence to pursue their passions and dreams, and just spread love and kindness and compassion. So it's just like my way of trying to do something, you know, just to make things better for us.
Yes. So, now, go ahead, Whitney. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that it's just all about esteem, self-esteem. I think, in my opinion, that's just the one thing that I think that we need to tackle before we can do anything else. We have to actually love ourselves first and love others.
So true. If anyone has any questions or comments for Whitney Scott, the author of Nice Girls Club, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 5490-32#. Then hit *61. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. Whitney, I think this is a real gem. And I think you touched on it in writing Nice Girls Club, because it wasn't not only for the young princesses that you've written this book for, but it's also for the of age women, because in today's world it's fashionable and it's faddish to have, and you see it on mainstream TV from the different sitcoms that they have, you know, this person right up here and that person of there, and it's all about at your throat. We have a at your throat agenda that's being pushed into our community, and that is a poison. Because the only throat that you're going to sever is your own. And so, Whitney, right, I'm glad that you brought up the what was it from the adult side in Nice Girls Club? And just tell us about the book you've written, Nice Girl Club.
So Nice Girls Club is a fictional novel. It's a really easy read for young girls. It's not intimidating. It just tells a story about an 11-year-old girl. Her name's Brianna, and she begins off in the story as what we would call a mean girl, and she particularly is mean to one girl that, as you can see in the novel, she's actually jealous of. So that comes off as mean behavior, which often happens in everyday relationships.
Sure.
So Brianna's forced to spend time with this girl that she's mean to, and then she realizes that they have a lot in common. And they eventually, the story develops into them becoming best friends. So it just shows how their relationship grows and blossoms, and how Brianna realizes that it's actually more beneficial to her to be a positive human being. And it helps her with her relationships with not only her peers, but also her family members. So in the story, you could actually see how her parents, she inspires her parents to do things that they've never even thought of doing. So, Yeah, so this story, it really resonates with adults too, because like you were saying, a lot of adults are mean, and we treat each other in negative ways, and a lot of times it's because of the stress that we're feeling or the challenges that we face, so we lash out or we lead with negativity instead of positivity.
So, you know, Whitney, we have a couple of callers in queue. I'm going to get to them. They probably have some questions. But, you know, I'm so glad that you actually, it was more than penning that you did in this book, Nice Girls Club. This is, you're setting the frequency that is so needed, that, and this is going to resonate so high because, you know, hurt children grow up to be angry adults. And I'm glad that you're tackling this, and we're going to you know, we definitely have to. And one of the things that I want to know just before we go to our callers is that I want to know what did Brittany teach you? What did Brianna teach you, you know, because when you write a book, it becomes a life of its own. You know, you had your, right. you scripted it out or with everything, but you end up something and you really learn something from the characters that you create. And I know that there was something key that Brianna and the other young lady that's in the book in Nice Girls Club, they also taught you something. I would love to hear what is it from the evolution of this project. And as you said, it's going to be a series. What have you been learning? So, you know what? Hold on. We're going to come back to that question. We got a caller in queue. Whitney, would you be able to take a call?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Okay, great. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Whitney Scott, the author of Nice Girls Club?
First off, how you doing, Whitney? How you doing, Dave, Scotty, Brother
Brett? What's up, Brother Jerry?
How are you this evening, brother?
Good.
I have some questions for you, Scotty, and Brother Briggs, but for the sister, for all of us, because all of us have stories, just like Scotty was saying, we all produce something, and whether we manufacture it is another thing. But we all have a story or something of substance that we can give to the world. Now, my question for the sister is how she go about piecing her masterpiece together, and what type of instructions or tutelage that she could give to all of the listeners about how to get their own stories out there.
Great question, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you for the question. What was the first question again? I'm sorry.
What steps would you give all of the listeners, including myself, about how to put their ideas into a format to where they could be able to produce a book or, like you said, a series of different things that's going on within their lives?
Well, for me personally, I just I took all my experiences, and particularly my experiences with my own daughters, and some of the challenges that they face, and I just really sat down and thought about what I was most passionate about and what was the message that I wanted to deliver, and really the story just flowed from there. It was just something that I was really passionate about, so it was just my own creativity based off of my experiences and based off of the message that I wanted to convey. So that's really how I formulated my book. There was no real, you know, formula or process to writing it. It was just mainly my own creativity and trying to deliver a message. Now, for the volume two, I am struggling a little bit because I have these characters and they do take a life of their own. So maybe I'll have a more of a formula to give you when I finish the second book. And the advice that I would give you is when you create your own project or you put your own project forth forward, just be confident in it, and just be confident in yourself, and always lead with confidence, and you'll be sure to be successful.
Great, great point. Any other question for Whitney there, Jerry?
No, sir. I sit back in the queue, and like I said, I got questions for you, Brother Scotty, and Brother Briggs also.
Okay.
I'll wait later on for that.
Okay, we'll definitely get to that. Great, great question. You know what? Jerry asked a great, because, you know, every person's journey is different. And I think that you really have to develop all of your talents, you know, as Whitney did as well. Whitney, when you were writing Nice Girls Club, I don't know how much time you have, so just keep me abreast, because I know you got a busy schedule with me, Whitney, so just let me know.
Okay.
There was three questions I have for you.
Okay.
And that was Brianna. What did Brianna teach you? And then what did you come away with during the different stages about what you decided to give your life's energy to in creating the book, which is, you know, in so many words, eternal, because it can be around far beyond, you know, many things. What did Brittany teach you? And then as you're writing and putting Nice Girls together, what did you learn from the whole project that surprised you?
So Brianna's really taught me that, you know, life is all about growing. And throughout life, a bunch of challenges will come your way, and there'll be a lot of challenges that, you know, that you aren't prepared for. So as I'm developing her character, I just constantly keep bringing her all of these new challenges that, you know, she's having difficulty dealing with. So she's really taught me to stay centered and remember who I am. Actually, my favorite character in the book is Asha, actually the girl that she bullies, because she's a real unique and different individual, and this is why she's bullied. And I learned the most out of her just because she remains herself throughout all the bullying. She still remains who she is and is proud of who she is. So it's really taught me just to embrace my own uniqueness and what's special about me, and whatever makes me different is what makes me who I am, and it should be celebrated.
So, so true. Now, Whitney, for Nice Girls Club, who's the targeted audience? Who would really benefit from having Nice Girl Clubs in their overall library? Who did you want this to actually, what were the age groups and what were you trying to accomplish there?
So my target audience are girls ages 8 to 12.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a pretty broad range because it is an easy read, but 8-year-olds and 12-year-olds will interpret the book differently. So the conversations from the two groups are very different and very amazing. So, yeah, 8 to 12 girls.
Now, where can we find Nice Girls Club? And tell us about some of the events that you're going to be having. I know you have one on Sunday on Wilshire Boulevard, a book signing. So if you would, tell us about that and just tell us where we can find the book. You know, I think that's very, very important because we have a lot of 8 to 12-year-olds, and I would definitely say it's probably a good read, even though I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to reading it. I'm going to pick it up. I bet it would be a good read for your 20-year-olds and everything else. But because
right.
I'm going to tell you, when you go back and you look at some of the books of your childhood, you can reground yourself into who you really, really are. And it's amazing how that works. But Whitney, so tell us what's on your agenda. Where can everyone find you? Where can we find the book? What's some of the things you have on your calendar that we need to know about?
Great. So my book can be purchased on my website, and that is nicegirlsclub.org. So it's nicegirls with an S, club.org. Or you can contact me at nicegirlsclub@yahoo.com. Either way, you could purchase the book. It's also available on Amazon, but preferably order it from my website. And I am having an upcoming book signing this Sunday at Dysana City Art Gallery, and that's at 5373 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And that's on Sunday, November 6th from 4 to 6. And I'll be teaming up with another author. Her name is Tracy Saunders, and her book is Natural Hair and the Law. And so that's my main major event that's coming up. That's this Sunday. And I'll also be at the Black Business Women's Rock Conference and Expo on December 10th. And that's also in Los Angeles.
Well, that's a busy, busy schedule. Definitely, we will post inside of BTR and where you can go to buy. And as Whitney said, it's better to buy it from her website, Nice Girls Club. Definitely want to pick up this. Whitney, now you said this is going to be a series. Would you just give us a quick peek as to what some of the things that could possibly be in the series of great books coming from you?
So my series of books is really going to follow Brianna in real time. So the next book that I'm working on, Brianna's going to middle school. So she's going to be like a small fish in a big pond. So now the tables are going to be turned. And so we'll see how she deals with dealing with mean girls that are mean towards her. So that's kind of the direction that I'm taking the second book. David, I also wanted to mention that I also do workshops. That's really the center of Nice Girls Club, is doing workshops and actual interactive activities with youth. Right now, I mainly do it in Los Angeles with organizations, schools, churches, anywhere where there's a group of girls.
Well, you know what, Whitney, I've cut my teeth in Los Angeles, so there's a couple of people that we need to speak about that I want to direct you to, because they have some young ladies that you definitely would be able to mentor and reach out to, and they will really benefit from your energy. So I will definitely help you with that and get you in contact with those people, because I'm very proud, and it's encouraging to know that we are actually starting to really move away from and to have alternatives to the poison that's put out inside of mainstream media. And this is what, as we talked about, we're creating many things, and we need to continue to create, because when our community creates, we're really talking about the overall standard of living from the standpoint of increasing our standard of living, our quality of life issues. We really do attack those things, and it's so, so needed. And once again, we have another ambassador and another champion of that in Whitney. Whitney, couple more things before you go, because I know you got to get out of here. One more thing, Whitney.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Where did you, as a writer, because you know there's a lot of people that have been published in writing your first book. How did you get through the writer's block and the difficult times? Because we all have them in different forms. Some people have them, you know, because of different reasons, but we all experienced them. What was your overall drive that made you or insisted that you would see this project all the way through? What was that for you?
I'm sorry, my girls are waiting on me. can you repeat that, David, really quick?
Sure. Real quick, what was it, what motivated you to finish this project when it got tough? Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you quit?
Well, I didn't quit because I knew that I had a message, and it's also my passion, and it is my responsibility to my community to contribute and try to make a difference. And I experience writer's block a lot, and it was mainly just discipline. Just forcing myself to sit down and actually write and finish and complete this book. So that's kind of what I'm experiencing now with balancing all of the things that I'm doing. Just really being disciplined and finding the time and being organized and just sit down and write. You know, just sit down with your pen and paper or sit in front of a computer, whatever works for you, sticky notes, and just sit down and write and just let it flow. So, you just have to stay organized. I'm actually about to do a workshop right now with 10 girls. That's what I meant by my girls are waiting for me.
Yes, I know. So we're gonna let you go. One more time, Whitney, where can they find your book? How can they get Nice Girls Club before you get out of here? Because I know you're busy.
Yeah, so you can go on my website. That's www.nicegirlsclub.org. That's NICEGIRLSCLUB.org. Or you can contact me at nicegirlsclub@yahoo.com.
Whitney, thank you so much. Make sure you text me that when you get a chance. I'm going to put it up in BTR, and we are always going to be following you, looking forward to hearing more about your great work. We are proud of you. We actually love you, and we're going to support you all the way through. Thank you so much, Whitney.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.
No problem. We'll talk again. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Well, everyone, definitely, as you can see, a beautiful, beautiful spirit. Definitely want to support Whitney. The name of the book is Nice Girl Clubs. If you have any young ladies, any princesses in your family, which I know you all do, and this could be a good gift for, and I'm going to tell you, this is a gift that you can give that will always continue to give. You know, if you can find, you have a young lady in your family, give her this gift even before the holiday season or during the so-called holiday season, however fits you. But this would be great because this will give our young ladies an opportunity to read something that is going to actually build them up and to see who they truly are and not to destroy them by what someone else wants them to become, the character that they want them to become. So it's so, so important. So we got to support Nice Girls Club by W.A. Scott. And I'm going to post this inside of BTR, Tando Radio Show on BTR. Please support this, and we'll have Whitney back on again. My man Jerry and Brother Braggs is there. I had to muted them out real quick. Let's go back to we got 5 minutes before the break. Jerry, you there? Jerry?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here, Dave. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Hey, bro, you said you had a question for Brother Braggs is here. I'm here, and I'm not quite sure. Scotty may be here, may not be here, may be doing some things. But if you had a question, bro, go ahead and shoot. We got 5 minutes before the break, and then we'll hear it, and then we can go into the break, and we'll answer your questions, Big Jerry.
I'm here. I'm working, but I'm here.
The first question I had was, I guess all three of y'all can chime in, because it was about the frankenfish. We haven't heard anything about the frankenfish, and I know that that's one of the fish that was thriving. Of course, it was a fish that was created, but it was thriving, that tuna, inside of that fresh Fukushima spill. And what has that done to all of the sea lice throughout the oceans? Because this thing is tearing through the waters, whether it's fresh water, ocean water, and it's gobbling up everything. And we don't hear much about it, but I know it hasn't went anywhere because it was producing offspring at double the rate of all of the normal fish, and it was eating the regular tuna that was in the ocean. So how does that play a part?
For me, I'm very familiar with somewhat familiar with this frankenfish. It was genetically modified. It was a created fish. It's an ugly fish, and it has a voracious appetite. Excuse me. It's a predator of everything. It totally destroys the fish population from the time that it is born. Even small, it just devours a lot of fish, and I know that it's changing the overall ecology of the streams, the rivers, and now, you know, this frankenfish, it is just what it said. It's a Frankenstein fish.
The reason I asked that, Dave, is because I noticed that when we look at all of these, whether it's seals, the sharks, the whales that done become belly up on the beaches, a lot of these sea creatures have small bites. Now they might not be small on another fish, but like to a whale or to a shark, they have small bites that's on them. And I'm wondering if it's from this poisonous bite from this frankenfish.
Very well could be, but I'm going to tell you, you think about who would gain from putting, and what it was illegally introduced into the streams and rivers and everything else. Who would gain from that? And I would say it always goes back to the corporations. Because now, why is that so important? Because now what becomes relevant is what? Farming fish instead. Where there's no so-called frankenfish or farming fish, because you can't rely upon the radioisotopes that are being all in the ocean. So this is a point.
Remember, farming fish is no good because you don't get the oils that you're supposed to get from farming fish.
Yeah.
They feed them meal, and they feed them doo-doo. You don't want to eat that
right.
stuff.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but that's exactly why I think it was the farmers of fish that had in the corporations that had the best interest in creating the frankenfish and the destruction of the overall food chain from the ocean. And I think that that's where, because exactly, Brother Braggs, this farming fish is you don't want no fish that's been farmed. That's not a fish at all. Not a fish at all.
You don't know what they're feeding the fish. What you eat fish for is you get the oils that's in the fish. And the fish get the oils from eating natural substances like other fish, crustaceans, or whatever they may eat, algae, whatever it is that they eat. Not man-made food. This is just GMO food, more Franken food. The island of Dr. Moreau. Where all these strange creatures come about because they're spooning around in the laboratory.
Yeah. The omega-3s aren't there. Your omega-3s aren't in these...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, these ones. We got another caller. Hold on 1 second. Welcome caller to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
What's up, family? It's Mel.
What's up there, Big Mel?
How y'all doing, man? Peace.
Good.
I had a question along the line of that brother's question, because I noticed, and I've asked actual people, you know, farmers and so forth around the area, if they're having the same problem. And I'm just getting shrugged shoulders, but my fruit trees are just horribly failed like this year. And I did everything. And I'm wondering, has anybody else experienced that?
Remember this.
Chemtrails?
They're spraying all kind of stuff in the air. I remember that. Look, the trees where I live, in my yard, got this black stuff all over the leaves.
Oh, wait. Hey, Brother Brax, hold on. We got to go to a commercial break because I don't want to get this broken because it's
no,
very,
go
very
ahead.
Important.
Hey, Brother Mel, Dave. Brother Dave, go ahead and push through the break,
okay.
Man. I'm extremely busy right now.
Okay, cool. But go ahead, Brother Brax, finish out because what you were saying is real important. Go ahead, Brother Brax.
The leaves on the trees, why I'm right here, got black stuff all over the leaves. The leaves started falling off the trees in July.
Yeah, and I could literally, I wish I could send you a picture. I got like these black ashy type, it's like a black ash type substance on my leaves.
That's what's on the leaves, like a black, like a soot on the leaves, like a lesion.
Yeah, like a soot. Wow.
Hey, Mel, how long have you had that tree? And I take it that because you said my fruit trees, that means that you've had these trees for a while and you've seen the over how they respond to the season. So this isn't anything new. So that something else has changed is what you're saying.
Yeah, because they're well established trees, and they
right.
And now my pecan trees, now this year they didn't do too good, but. They usually do like an off and on season. Like one year they might yield a ton, the next year they might not yield as much. But my fruit trees, I mean all of them, man. I mean every one of them. It's like they started growing and then they got to a certain point, and then that black stuff like got on the leaves, and I mean it wasn't even worms or nothing like that. I put those spikes, you know, the vitamin spikes at the base.
Mm-hmm.
Of the tree. I take care of my trees. But this year, for some reason, man, they didn't bear no fruit. I mean, it bared it, but then they all just died and shriveled up and fell.
Wow. The trees themselves are dead now?
No, the fruits themselves.
The fruit, yeah, the fruit fell. Wow, and this is, how long have you been doing this, Mel? How long have you been taking care of fruit trees in general?
When we purchased the home, they were there already. But I mean, this is like my fourth season, so
yeah.
I mean, I should be canning and preserving, but I'm looking sad.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good, Jim.
Brother Mayor.
Yes, sir.
How have you noticed any aircrafts in your vicinity here lately?
Sir, I've noticed them since. 1978. No, seriously, to answer your question, yeah, man, I mean, you know, they do their patterns every morning. They go east to west, then they go north to south, and, you know, they do their patterns regularly, usually early in the morning
now,
when they do their chemtrails.
Now, this morning, I had to go out here with these rich folks who live out here in Plainfield and Bolingbrook. I drove out there this morning, and guess what? Me and my guy was riding like, yo, man, you see any chemtrails? Like, nah, I ain't seen it. Man, we ain't seen no chemtrail until we came back where we live.
Yeah.
The reason I ask that is because if it's a constant chemtrail pattern that's being dropped, and like you said, it's been happening for a while around where you at. So if it's a constant chemtrail that's being dropped, then what are they dropping now that's decimating your trees?
That's my question.
Goodness knows.
I've seen them. They've been doing it ever since I've been here. But this year, it's like they may have added something extra or something, because this has never happened to my fruits. And for all the trees to do it, that's very strange to me. And so I just wanted to get anybody's opinion.
The trees that have been affected, are they new trees? You said they're established trees, right?
Well, established trees, yeah.
Yeah, so something has definitely changed. But somebody else, I think it was Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, one more question. So has there been do you have a new neighbor? What I mean as a new neighbor, do you have any kind of, has Monsanto's moved into your area here recently? Where pollination have came and took over?
Not that I know of, brother. I mean, shoot, I only seen maybe 3 bees this whole summer.
That was my next question to you, was the bees.
I didn't see none.
Jerry's question is real. Oh, go ahead, Mel.
Dave, but go ahead, brother.
No, I'm listening.
Jerry's question is real important because I know throughout Tennessee, Monsanto was taking over. So many GMO farms all over there, and then the cross-pollination will definitely affect your crops and everything else. It will destroy them in so many ways, and then, you know, now they got legal claim, but that's very, very true, and it's There's a reason why. Now, is it all the trees on one side or all the trees, or is this throughout your whole
throughout
whole garden?
Whole property, because I got them on the east side, the west side. I got them everywhere. I got about 8 fruit trees, and they all just tripped out on me this year for some reason. Very strange.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, it could be it could be multiple things. One of the things with trees is that they don't always respond to different poisons right away. It's a cumulative effect that starts to destroy them because, you know, so it could be many things. I'm not an arborist, so I couldn't, you got to talk to somebody with trees, but I'm not surprised, and I know that Fukushima can't be helping it, and then the chemtrails is definitely there, and then also the water supply is changed, and it's gotten far worse. So there's a multiple things that's going on there, but you're an expert, right, Mel?
Yeah, right.
No, I'm serious. Let me tell you, this is one thing I want to say. Every person should pick up an intrinsical skill and master it, because that is going to determine your overall relative value to yourself, your family, and the community in the future. If you have time to go to the community college just to take an EMT class, don't take it for the grade. Take it for the knowledge. Get the knowledge. That is key, because once you have it, no one can take it away from you. You know what, bro? You are an expert because you've been doing this. You know how to. Let me tell you, a farmer is going to be highly valuable in the next economic the next economic phase is going to be extremely important. And I would definitely say find out as much as you can about these things, especially when it comes to food production, private food production, community food production, because they are going to have to be experts all over the place. And believe me, those individuals won't miss a meal. They won't miss a meal. So, yeah, Mel, there's so many things that could be going on with that tree, with those trees.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, can I get them tested for something? I'm going to do some research on that. But I'm going to my line because I know the show is winding down. Brother Bragg, man, much love. Peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace.
No, I think you could just take your leaves, put it in a plastic bag, and then take it to someone that's that you could trust. You never know. Don't take it to a major institution. They be lying. Don't take it to those universities. They be lying. And not only that, they'll see how well their product is doing and everything else, and then they'll give you the wrong stuff. Don't trust the universities. The schools are some of the institutions of control. So try to get it privately done, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother.
Peace.
So, yeah. Now, what I want to do, I'm sorry, Jerry, did you have a question for Brother Braggs? And
well, that was just one of my questions that I had. The next one is that... What compels Brother Braggs to get his library together? Because I went through a whole lot of books.
I can't tell about them books, man. My wife don't love my books like me, because, man, I read so much. I don't look at TV.
Understood. I mean, I cut my cable off. And I got a Fire Stick, and I be watching different programs, just to conversate with the brothers at the job. I watch the sports because they love football. I mean, I like football too, don't get me wrong, but it has become a diminishing
interest.
Interest. It has become a diminishing.
Hey, look, man.
I don't really.
They told me today that I didn't know that the Chicago, what's called, won the World Series or something. Man, I didn't one game. I don't know which way. You know what I'm saying? Hey.
He said, wait, y'all. Listen. Brother Braggs is in Chicago. And the curse of the Cubbies has been going. And Brother Bragg didn't even know the thing. He said somebody told me today that they won something, man. Brother Braggs, that shows you how much Brother Braggs be in them books. Hey, we got a caller in queue. Hold on 1 second. Let's bring this caller up. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Okay, this is Brother Jam calling from Lubbock, Texas.
Jam. Wait, Jam, let me tell you something. Thank you so much for that article. I'm going to highlight that on the bacteria. You need to call in tomorrow on that one too, man, because I'm going to feature that on this show here. That was so powerful.
Dave, you got to say it, though. You got to say it.
What? Say what?
The jam bone.
Oh. You know what you're supposed to say, jam for me.
Right, jam.
That's right. Brother Ren, how's everyone doing today?
good, Jambone.
Okay, that one brother just called in a while ago. I just want to share this one information about agricultural. One is called a soup mold. If you look that up, there's a about this like some kind of mold that's created, it's covered plants and so forth. You just look at it, it's called soot. It's S-O-O-T, mold. Okay, and then I want to share some technology ideas that probably take people interest and they might want to use in the future, probably want to teach their children. One is called TeraFlip chips. TeraFlip chips are new computer chips they're using in a lot of technology today. And then quantum computing, like quantum physics. The supercomputers are called today is called quantum. And another idea that probably everybody can jump on in spare time, that's going to be the new future of energy. It's called fusion power. The same idea, what they're using, the fusion power, is the same, you want to call the unk. You know, that circle, that, the cross and so forth, and they got the wires around it, the same principles, but they also use it in what you call dimensional travel, the power collider. There are many other things, but they're planning on using the same principles and ideas and so forth. It's just a different formula, like a transformer somewhat. But these are going to be the new ideas of the future. People that like take a look at it, and if their children can go to school and jump on this, you never know where it could go. Russia, they're already ahead of the U.S. way further than anyone else on anti-gravity and some other things. I was even having ideas of having what you call a warships, be able to fly and be able to go to different wormholes and portals with this technology. So instead of having to fly all the way across the earth, they'd be able to jump a hole and be in the United States in no time if they could ever figure this out. But that's all I wanted to share there, Brother Ren. One more thing I was going to share. Have anybody ever considered taking ideas of in bead jewelry? A lot of people may be doing bead jewelry, but I'm talking about on a higher level. My aunt, before she had died, we was making in between from $100 to $500 a week years ago doing bead jewelry. But the bead jewelry, what she was creating, was unique. It was something like they would have, like in ancient times, like the nets would go over their head, or like the beads would cover a certain part of the hand and wrap around, but it would be like Oscar crystals and so forth. And it was then another idea would be blacksmithing. You know, they would take a lot of people in my area, they're taking like junk from the junkyard, from the backyard, and creating furniture with old bicycles and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I say, there's just a lot of ideas I want to share with the folks and so forth, you know, give some other entrepreneur ideas and new technologies. You want, you know, their children plan on going to college and, you know, just different ideas, bro.
Yeah, that's so true. The quantum physics and the nano technology is definitely the way to go. And for our children, I would definitely say the language that they need to learn to speak is Mandarin. If they learn to speak Mandarin, they will never, ever, ever go without. They need to learn to speak Mandarin. So, yeah, you know what, Jambone, it's just, we need to have just a Technology Thursday or something every once in a while with you. But it's so much, man. It's a bunch of stuff. I wanted to talk about CERN with you. I wanted to talk about ITER with you and all of these things. So, yeah, we'll definitely get to that, man, Jambone.
Right on. But, hey, man, y'all have a peaceful and blessed day. I'm going to get on with everybody else to comment and whatever have you.
Okay, brother. And then tomorrow, if you can, we're going to do that. So call in tomorrow. That was a great, great article you sent me about the algae. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes. I'd be glad to share. I got some notes on that, too, as well.
Okay. We're talking. It's some powerful stuff, so we'll get to it. Okay, we got another caller in queue. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question and comment?
Greetings to you, Brother Dave, Brother Braggs, Brother Scotty, Brother Mel, Brother Jam. What's up?
Look at Roz, as always. Roz always. What's up, Brother Roz? How you feeling?
Yes,
shoot,
sir.
Brother.
I'm feeling good. I just wanted to touch base on when you were talking earlier. First, I got to give big ups to Miss Whitney Scott. She's doing her thing. I'm really glad to hear that she's writing the books that she's writing, and I will definitely support. I wanted to just bring up something that Scotty talked about earlier when they were talking about, he was saying that there's a lot of misinformation stating that black people don't produce anything. He couldn't have been more correct. The thing is that we have to remember that Africa was systematically crippled when it was colonized by white supremacists. And I remember reading earlier this summer that in Zimbabwe, Europeans had crippled their entire textile industry so badly to the point that Zimbabweans now get imported used clothes, used T-shirts, used jeans from white people in the United States who discard their clothes because it's cheaper to buy used white waste material than it is to actually create their own textiles. So it's a systematic thing that's happening, and that has happened to us for thousands of years now. So it's just something we got to keep in mind. And he's right. Even within those conditions, we have still learned how to create. And we've created better than any other group on the planet. It's just about us really putting our focus in the right place as far as us understanding our collective upward mobility based on our ability to put our minds together to do for ourselves rather than depending on our enemy to supply us with the goods we need. That's the main thing. The other thing, I was listening to Brother Mel. He was talking about his plants, and I had some plants years ago, and I need to really get back on my game with that. But they were killed during that particular year. Jersey had the wettest winter in its history, so it drowned all of my plants. And I wanted to tell him to look into blight and look into fungus, because it could be a fungus. I did have issues with a fungus, and I was able to, you know, to fight it on some level. But eventually, like I said, the weather actually killed my plants. And I was going to ask him, too, if he had enough space, he should really think about beekeeping. Beekeeping would really help facilitate pollination, because if he has 8 trees on his property, if he starts beekeeping, the bees that he's keeping will actually pollinate the plants on his property. So they'll facilitate.
Right.
He said he only saw like 3 bees this whole summer. If he is able to get into beekeeping, that is something that we should really think about. And if you study the history of beekeeping, the oldest beekeepers were Nile Valley Africans. They have them. You have hieroglyphic images all over Egypt showing them beekeeping. And the bee was one of the main symbols they used to symbolize Nile Valley high culture, where we worked together to build all kinds of monumental structures as well as the sciences and the arts. So I just wanted to throw that out there and say, again, incredible show, and thank you all. Peace.
Peace, my brother. Hold on, Raj. Yeah, you know, that beekeeping thing is so, so important. And, he's got to do some research, because it could be a mold. It could be a bunch of different things. With his trees. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Mel. For Mel, you're absolutely right, Raj. For Mel, he should be looking at, if you can, become a beekeeper, because that is, man, that is going to. I actually was looking at, had a friend that has some property and told him that's what they should be doing, because that's what you want. That's the future. You want the pollination of food, and they're exterminating them, and I believe it's a chemical extermination that the bees are going through, and so it's when the bees go, there go your food source.
We go, because they pollinate what 75-80% of the food sources that humans consume. So, I mean, talk about literally putting us on the verge of destruction. That is one of the most complete forms of destruction they can create, is basically killing off the bees. So I think you're absolutely correct. It's a chemical thing, and it's warfare. It's really about facilitating, like you say, control of resources, with which, through control of those resources, they're controlling human beings. So you're absolutely right.
So, so true. So, all right, so let me say, you know what? One sec, let me pull this up. I don't want to get knocked out of here, because there was a couple of things that that Mel had put in that's so important. Now, what I want to say is that we are all, in the last 5 minutes that we have in the show, we are all scattered throughout the country. What I would definitely highly suggest is that we need to all join BTR and establish where you can go and have some of the best preparing practices that you've learned, and then establish where you can actually come together with like-minded people. You can say, you know, your name is such and such out of, you know, the Dallas area or here. And then the people that are in that area, we can set up some rules to meet until everyone gets to know and they really understand what they, because it's all about trust. You're going to have to find out, because not everyone has the best intentions. But I think the best intention for us to do is to, while we can, establish a hub of protection before we need to really protect ourselves, which we've already been needing to do for a while. And then this is something that can grow way beyond preparing. It can grow into to things of establishment, of collective prudence, of different things. It's so, this is so big, and it can do so much good. So I would highly suggest everyone join BTR. Then we should establish where we can have people from BTR come together and establish their own, outside of their overall families, preparedness groups. And then once there's a level of comfort within those groups, then you can commingle them with some of your other groups that you already have, if they deem themselves trustworthy and it's being themselves where that would be beneficial to you, your group. So I think this is something that we definitely need to do within BTR, because we are so scattered. It's not enough for us to talk about this and you just to prepare from the standpoint of just you and your family. One of the things about collective preparing is that even though you have these talents, you have talents and other people have talents. Now when you align those talents together, wow, you become so much powerful. And then not only that, preparing is expensive. You can minimize the cost of having multiple people providing for certain things. This is where, and then not only that, you will see your relationships within your family, within your community, and within yourself will become a much more healthy engagement for everything. And this is so necessary, and we're going to definitely push this so much more. So hey everyone, we got to get ready to get out of here. I just want to thank you, Brother Braggs. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Roz. And my man and Ramon had called in and he jumped off, and thank you, Whitney, so much. Listen everyone, go to Nice Girls with a apostrophe S. Nice Girls is, no, it's just with a S. Nice Girls club.org and pick up Whitney's new book. Very, very important. Nice Girls Club. Very good. So without any further ado, everyone, we're just going to lead out of the show. Just want to thank you all for listening. I think my girl Cece and Robert is coming on with their program. And definitely stick around for that. You're listening to, and you listen to Tando Radio Show, that was brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll talk to you all later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
slicing cake.